Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt. Today, talking with Mr. Daniel Bratcher, External Relations Director and the Coffee County Campus Director. Did I get both of those correct?
Yes, sir.
Good. Welcome. Welcome. I appreciate you coming out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's jump in. So I talk a little bit about education, but I need to know a little bit about you first. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you end up in these roles? How did you get here sitting across from me?
Yeah. So absolutely. Pretty much one of six kids out of Warren County, Tennessee, born and raised in Warren County, grew up close to McMinnville, obviously, straight out of high school, actually went to TCAT McMinnville, third generation TCAT graduate. My grandfather was actually the first class. My dad went to UT, then went to TCAT, and I went to TCAT after school, went back to school again. I was actually an engineer for 6.5 years before I came back to work for TCAT. So I was on their advisory board. Things just kind of happen. You know how life goes. Mm-hmm. I've got a business degree, but you never go into the field that you get graduate
from.
Correct.
Generally. I have one of those too.
Yeah,
and I'm in education.
Yeah. So that's pretty much my story. So and then we've just taken off from there.
Yeah. So when you went through TCAT, what did you specialize in?
Machine tool. So I was a machinist. Worked with that for a little while I was in college to get another degree and. Just kind of went from there. Used it as a good stepping stone.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the opportunities, I'm excited because I feel like at the anything post-secondary, you know, sometimes people get hung up on defining university and TCAT and you know, different opportunities. To me, do something after high school.
Right. And I think what we've talked about dual enrollment and things of that nature before, I know that obviously TCAT does dual enrollment classes. I've told you before, with dual enrollment especially, if a kid finds out that they do not want to do something in high school, that's fine with me because I don't want them to go to the collegiate level thinking they want to do something. Mm-hmm. I'd rather them find out in high school. So, you know, whatever that somebody wants to do, mm-hmm. as long as the state of Tennessee, obviously, as far as post-secondary, is doing a good job. So I think there's a lot of different options, and there's no wrong path. I'm just glad kids that are able to find that out now mm-hmm. at an early level.
Yeah, for sure. And the opportunities are so much more now when I came through high school many, many years ago.
Right.
In East Tennessee, there was a centralized sort of vocational school, but it caught the whole county and you had to ride the bus. And, you know, it wasn't an ideal scenario because I always sort of leaned towards the academic path anyway, but I'm a hands-on guy. And if it had been locally accessible to me, I would have taken dual credit, and I would have taken welding classes. I mean, you know, I would have done some of both, but I just love that there are opportunities to do whatever path is best.
Right. Yeah, that's there's more options now than like there has been in at least a long time. You know, you used to have shop classes, things of that nature, and high schools are doing a really good job. I know Putnam County schools are doing a good job, White County, Warren County. They're all doing a really good job of getting those vocational and dual enrollment classes back into the classroom.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So we'll dig into that just a little bit more when we get a little further. But so my first question that I normally ask everybody, I tried to give everybody a warning. So were you in Warren County Schools?
Well, yes, I was actually homeschooled for a little while
okay.
as well.
So okay. So along the way, so you had a favorite teacher. I always ask everybody at some point, who was your favorite teacher? It could be elementary, high school, college.
Well, my mother would kill me if I said anybody but my mother. So it was probably my mother.
Yeah. So and why was that? What was it that
she had more patience with me than a lot of people did, probably.
Yeah.
Goofed off a lot, you know, things of that nature. But my mother was good. My mother went through education for teaching. So she knew how to handle students that were unruly. And that's why I'm here today, probably.
Yeah. And train to do so. And it is especially. And it's a calling. And I always ask because we have a teacher shortage.
Right.
Just in
Absolutely.
General, you know. And so I'm always interested – for our listeners and for people that I interview, I'm always interested to know how they were inspired or who inspired them or, you know, because you're in education. I mean, you've ended up
right.
in education. And
right.
so I'm always trying to get inside and understand more about what got people into education.
Majority of people that I've talked to that are in education that are close to my age, and I'm still on the south side of Short, a 30 there. So, mm-hmm. but majority of people that I've talked to, it's because they had a good teacher that was a good influence on them growing up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them take that and translate it and take that and make their career out of it.
Mm-hmm. And it makes a difference. And so it's, you know, we get a lot of people now who are coming into education second career or later
right.
than we do people coming straight out of high school. and going into education.
Right.
It's an interesting shift that I've seen over time.
It is.
So one of the things that interests me, and to me, there's so many layers to peel back when it comes to TCAT in any kind of technical school. And I almost use the word technical lightly because it's more advanced. I mean, so many of the subject areas that you all work with are advanced, more so than just technical or vocational. I don't even really like those terms because it's such a specialized, hands-on training. So how do you work? So McMinnville, Coffee County, those two areas, work with local businesses, local manufacturers. How do you build those relationships and make that work?
Right. So that's kind of where the external relations part of my job comes in. Pretty much the external relations aspect is connecting with industry. We have at the McMinnville campus currently, we have 12 different technical programs, vocational programs. Welding, for example, I know you mentioned welding earlier. Sometimes there are industries that say, you know, I've got an employee, maybe they're working in assembly, maybe this is a large manufacturing facility. They've got some people that are working a basic job in manufacturing, but they're showing up on time. They're showing those skills that industry likes. And they say, well, we have some welding jobs available. They're interested. We want to pay for them to come to school. I've made those connections. We have some that are going to school for that, for industry, as well as maybe some industries want a 2-month crash course on welding. Mm-hmm. We can teach them that as well. So sometimes it's the whole program. Sometimes it's taking aspects of programs and connecting those. But a lot of it's just making those connections and helping foster those relationships and through industry. Eventually that comes back, obviously. But with students of any program, we're able to take majority of our programs and get certifications in different aspects of that training to help industry out. Because it all comes back at the end of the day, if our facilities need people and we're able to foster that, that helps the school, helps the region, helps everybody.
Mm-hmm. So when you make those partnerships, so I know that they're Tennessee Promise, Tennessee Reconnect. I know there are opportunities for funding, but right. Someone, you know, who just needs a short thing to do, you know, a short training period in something very specific. Do you ever partner with industries to say, so we're doing one type of welding, but we need this more advanced thing. If you will provide that for us, then we'll provide the people to train and the programs.
Right. We've done that as well. There have been several industries that have reached out to us and maybe a facility, manufacturing facility. They have a specific machine, for example, that is not commonplace in other environments. We have had companies that were willing to either on their site host an instructor to come and teach new employees on how to use this machine, or maybe ship that machine to us, and we're able to use that in our program, put it in our lab, and teach people that way. Kind of like, well, this is kind of a small shout out, but DTC, mm-hmm. DeKalb Telephone Communications, mm-hmm. They've actually had a couple of employees that are going through one of our programs right now. It's for CDL, truck driving. They needed mm-hmm. them to get that CDL certification. We're working with them, they have a little bit of a different work schedule. Mm-hmm. So able to work with them, get those people on the road, get that CDL certification, and they're able to move on. Some industries do pay out of their own pocket, but some have students that say, hey, I have Pell money or I have whatever. So the industry doesn't have to pay, but they're able mm-hmm. to work with their schedule and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you have those conversations regularly? Do you just like walk into the factory, you know, the local business and say, hey, we're here, you know, what do you need?
Right. Ideally, absolutely. Sometimes you get a little busy. I'm sure you know how things are.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you don't have time to get out and do that. But we work a lot with, example, the Upper Cumberland workforce here in Cookeville. Mm-hmm. Companies are reaching out to the Upper Cumberland workforce and saying, hey, we're looking for this. So they help us make that connection as well. So it's kind of both. We work a lot with local area chamber of commerce, mm-hmm. things of that nature to kind of make those connections as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever end up on the inside committee when they're trying to bring something in? Do they ever bring a company and sit in the company still company X?
Right.
They put you at the table and you all are like, yes, we can help prepare for company X.
Right. Project, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do a lot of industry recruitment as well. You know, just letting them know what's in the area, what's available, what we offer, things of that nature. We industry recruitment, pretty much anything we can do to help our local community. We work a lot with industrial development boards, regional, county, on that as well. So we do everything we can do to help. It's kind of a plethora of things, but we're able to do, we do everything we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, along the way. And to me, that's the most important part are the partnerships. You right. know, I know that sometimes at Tech, on the outside looking in, it feels like we just kind of build things the way we want to, you know, the way we want to build them, and we're not really communicating, but there's so many interactions and conversations and career discussions and you know, preparing for curriculum and different things. We don't just build them for fun.
Right,
I mean,
right.
you know, there's a lot of sauce, a lot of things that you know, ingredients that go into the sauce.
Right. And one of the things that I wish I had known sooner in life, you know, people probably did tell me, I'm sure I had counselors and teachers tell me, but it really is all about who you know, what you can, who you know, and what they can teach you and things of that nature. Because the more people you know, the more probably the better advice you can get. And that ties right very well into education and that aspect of education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and building out those programs. And so I'm sure you also are, you know, are in close connection with the high schools.
Right.
Do you see typically high school students coming to you all more, or do you all offer programs at the high schools?
We offer
some
programs,
combination of both.
In our service area, we offer programs at all of those high schools. Some high schools, we offer more programs than others, but it just depends on what that high school wants and how they're able to make it work. And sometimes they say, well, we just want this program or this program. Mm-hmm. It depends a lot on student demand as well.
Right. And how many, I assume also, you know, what you have in that community. It depends on the manufacturing because
it does,
you know, or what business you're preparing people for,
because right.
it can vary so widely community to community.
Right. It can. I mean, prime example, Warren County and then the agricultural, the nursery is probably mm-hmm. not going to translate as well to Cookeville as it would here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I know that keeps you on your toes.
It
certainly.
Does. It so, does.
Well, let's take a short break and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about some of your programs.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, talking with Daniel Bratcher. I'm going to get this title right, External Relations Director and the Coffee County Campus Director. So you're kind of crossing into Warren and Coffee.
Correct, as well as our rest of our service area,
okay.
which is generally counties that touch Warren County.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And I know that TCAT and community college and universities, we're all really particular about those boundaries. We work together well,
right.
but when it's like, I'm going to offer this program and here's the line, and can be very serious about those boundaries.
It can be. All community colleges and technical colleges in Tennessee are under the TBR. The TBR has a pretty good hand on how things go. Mm-hmm. Obviously, four-year universities, it's a little different, as you know. Mm-hmm. But the TBR has a pretty good hand on that. We tend to work really well together, as well as with four-year universities mm-hmm. as well.
And it is, in some senses, it's nice to have the oversight. In, because, you know, if a community college decided all of a sudden we're going to offer the exact same program as the TCAT that's a mile away, it would be kind of silly.
Right.
You know, so it's good that somebody is watching and saying, well, this program's happening over here. Maybe you should do, you know, could do a different program. They kind of help moderate that.
Right. And they do a good job at it. And I'm not saying it because, you know, they're the ultimate authority. But
right, just, right.
They do a good job at it.
Yeah. So how does Warren and Coffee, how do those counties look different just in terms of, since you're kind of got a foot in both areas?
Right. So actually Coffee County, up until our new campus being in Coffee County that we're working on. We've got a few programs in Coffee County under the TCAT Memorial Campus. But Coffee County kind of blows my mind, and it will probably blow your mind as well. Coffee County has – Manchester has about 5 to 6 exits off of Interstate 24,
mm-hmm.
Close to the same amount of interstate exits that Cookeville has off of 40. Up until TCAT Memorial started having some programs down there and is building this new campus, had no higher education centers.
Mm.
And Manchester, Tullahoma, Coffee County. I mean, their population is obviously larger than Warren County. So it blew my mind when I found that out. I thought, well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Motlow Community College is in the Moore County campus, which is right next to Tullahoma.
Mm-hmm.
But inside of Coffee County, there are no higher education centers. So it was totally different on that aspect from at Memville, which I've told people before, this new TCAT Coffee County facility will help keep Coffee County's young people in Coffee County, they're not going to have to leave for an education anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very big asset to Coffee County. McMinnville's had that going. TCAT McMinnville campus has been there since 1964. So they've had that for a while, but mm-hmm. It'll be new to Coffee County in that aspect.
Hmm. So what does the new facility look like?
So
how do you even start with a new facility in a place that hadn't been there?
Right. So we're actually in Coffee County. That site will be on the front of the I-24 industrial, what's the mega site they're calling it? It's a state 2,000 acres.
Okay.
Obviously, we talked about earlier the industry recruitment. Industry is being recruited to be on the back side of that property. Our site is on the front of that property off of the Woodbury Highway location. This is a $26 million project. It is a 40,000 square foot facility. We started off with six planned programs. Now we're about seven or eight. We're kind of adding a few more. Now that's the Coffee County facility. The McMinnville facility is $46 million project, and it is around 70,000 square feet. It's actually going to be on the same location as the McMinnville campus is currently, just kind of in the front and around on different aspects of it.
Okay, so you're building at both places,
both at the same time,
The same time,
firing with both barrels.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, to me, the demand is there.
It is.
That's part of
what fueled this.
Yeah, to create, and I know that's been a priority of the governor and the legislature.
Right. I think it was 2023. It was actually right when I had come on. I think Dr. Evans, who's the president of Ticket McMinnville, I think I talked to her about a day prior and accepted the job. And then the next day was when Governor Lee announced the funding of the TCAT master plan. It was $1 billion for TCATs across the state. So it's fairly new. We worked through all the design phases. We're in construction phases now for both. So they're going along pretty well. No hiccups so far. So we're just kind of running with that momentum all we can.
Yeah. Well, so how do you – so let's start with McMinnville and the expansion. How do you decide which programs you add? And how do you decide, do you remove – at what point do you all – I know how it works at Tennessee Tech.
Right.
It's a little different. How do you decide? Do you have flexibility on, well, this program has been around for a while, but it's not as popular, we're going to add this new thing?
So actually at the McMinnville facility, we are bringing all of the current programs that we have currently. All of those are doing really well. We've had some that we're actually doing better in numbers than we have in a while. So that's helping. But all of those programs we're bringing with us. A lot of the new programs are maybe, again, like industry demands. Maybe industry partners have met with us and said, hey, we would like this program. Or IDBs, industrial development boards, or new business recruitment. Maybe that's something that they wish. Generally, then we will take a look at it and say, hey, this program is very feasible. Two of the planned programs that we are working on adding in McMinnville is like HVAC and linemen. For example, so both of those industry needs, that's really big. HVAC, there's not really another program, another ticket around that offers that as well, besides maybe Crossville. In that area, there's not any other education centers for that. So that's a big one. Lyman as well. It's just kind of, it depends on industry needs and industry demands.
And to me, the funny thing is, when you talk HVAC, again, you can talk technical, but it's so much more advanced now.
It is. Obviously, that's something that even if I went through the program, I don't know if I'd be able to get the hang of it. It's just, I'm sure you know, it's really hands-on, a lot of technical. But looking at the type of trainers that the programs are using, it's very technical. It's very hands-on. It's really interesting. It's not daunting. It might be a little bit at first, but generally those instructors are able to make complete sense. And that's the good thing about the instructors. They're able to help the students understand that, hey, this might look daunting at first, but when you get the hands-on, and those hands-on trainers, you're not going to be able to mess anything up. And there's just a lot of equipment that goes into it that looks a little daunting at first.
Yeah. And also, it's also added in all the additional digital pieces of that. We're used to it may have just been repairing a fuse or filling something up, but now so many of those units are digital. And you have to get into the system, and you have that extra set of skills that you have to learn.
Right. There's something all the time that's being added. All of our programs do have occupational advisory committees, which is usually comprised of people in the industry. So, example, if a welding class, that welding class has an occupational advisory committee that meets at least once a year. And they are able to go over maybe something that they see that's new in the industry. That way, because our instructor is obviously not in the field anymore, they're teaching it, but they're not working in it actively, they're not maybe able to see a lot of these changes that are happening. So the Occupational Advisory Committee is able to say, hey, this is something new. Or with several programs, it might be AI. This is an AI aspect that we're adding in industry. Maybe you guys need to start training on that as well. So that works out pretty good to have those committees work and help us with the technology changes, because it's something new all the time.
Yeah, for sure. To keep active and current, to me, is kind of crazy in that world, because you can move from a physical welder, just going back to welding, you know, there's somebody who's going to need to physically weld something somewhere.
Right.
But then you're moving into advanced, you know, computer robot driven welding. And there may be a robot, but somebody's got to understand how to program that in the background and run it.
Correct.
You know,
or materials, material temperature. I mean, because those robots have to be programmed for certain materials, certain temperatures, different aspects of that machine that you still have to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So there's so many technical pieces to it.
There is.
Well, let's take a short break, and then I want to come back and I want to talk a little bit about the new program in Coffee County,
yeah.
And then a few more questions I've got for you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Mr. Daniel Bratcher from TCAT, McMinnville and Coffee County. So we were talking through some of the different programs, some of the different things. One of my questions that I have marked is always entertaining is politics. How does politics? I feel like that you all are on, at least on the TCAT side, have been in a pretty good place for several years. But what do you see? What changes your world when a legislator decides they're going to fix this thing or they're going to improve this thing? How do you see that trickling down to day to day operations at TCAT?
So actually, we've been very fortunate with Governor Lee and the things that he's education matters to Governor Lee, mm-hmm. obviously, especially technical education. So we've been very fortunate as far as that goes, especially with our regional state representatives, state senators. They've been all very supportive of our facility, and sometimes they'll just even call and say, "Hey, how are things going? Can we come take a visit just to see how things are going?" So we've been very fortunate, very blessed to have some good representation at the state level for education. I'm sure as well for you guys in at Tennessee Tech, it's a lot of the state senators, state reps, they're very supportive of education, and I have nothing bad to say, and I'm not saying that because mm-hmm. we're on the radio, but yeah. I've never had any complaints with our state representatives, state senators, Governor Lee. They've been very supportive of TCATs.
Mm-hmm. And I feel that way. I feel like overall,
right.
You know, we're good. Occasionally, something will trickle through, you know, in a subcommittee and
yeah.
kind of scratch your head and you're like, well, I don't know how that's going to really work on the ground. But typically, you know, they'll have a phone call. You have a conversation, and
absolutely
it's something and reasonable.
They've all been well too. You know, sometimes just picking up a phone call. Hey, what does this actually mean? And they're able to explain that. And you're like, oh, okay. So it's sometimes all you need is a phone call just to kind of mm-hmm. Figure things out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with the new center in Coffee County. So I'm not sure how much you've been involved in the planning on that. But it sounds like it's going to be in a great location. Are you setting the programs before you build, before the industry is there, or are there some that you're kind of leaving up in the air? Or are you just going with some of the standards to get it off the ground?
Kind of a little of both. So what we originally did was we took the programs in McMinnville that had been very successful or mm-hmm. high demand. Example, welding is one of those. Welding, we know that there's a high demand for that field. There's a waiting list for that program at the McMinnville campus. Plus, we have dual enrollment in Coffee County, Grundy County, and several of those other areas as well. So because we know that program is popular in the waiting list, we're able to say, okay, at this new Coffee County facility, we know that will be a success as well. So that was part of the factors. We do have a few programs in Coffee County that are currently going. Example, industrial maintenance, truck driving, and LPN, which is licensed practical nursing.
Mm-hmm.
We have those three programs are going currently. So we're able to move those straight to that new campus as well. Pretty much the rest of them has been either industry saying, hey, we think this is something you might want to look into, and we've done the research, and yes, that demand is there, the jobs are going to be there, things of that nature, or maybe that program is a success at a different location. Example, RCIE, which is Residential Commercial Industrial Electricians, that program is a huge success at McMinnville. So we know that because of the demand, the waiting list, that will translate as well. So that's majority of what that insight looks like into how that's chosen.
Yeah, and all those programs, you know, to get them off the ground. I think about from the back end, all the equipment and the instructors, hiring the instructors, and you know all those nuances to starting a brand new building.
Right. We have been able to actually for RCIE in Coffee County. We were able to get in on the capacity grant through Governor Lee's office to go ahead and start that program. We're hoping to start it as soon as this fall, probably a late fall start. But if we can go and get that program started, because the Manchester campus is a 13-month build time, they started in January of this year. So we're actually, I think, around 47, 48% completed right now. if we can go ahead and have that program started in the fall, we can go ahead and have some of that student numbers built up. That way, when we move to the new location, we've already got the equipment purchased, the students are already going. Obviously, you know that you know you don't want to start a new campus and have not have any students. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to hopefully get a lot of that built up, and I don't think we'll have any issue. For example, we already have the three programs that have students already in them. So those starting a new program can be a little different, but we've got obviously new equipment purchasing, a few things to work through. But the contractors that we're working with are pretty good at kind of lining things up for us and things of that nature as well.
Yeah, and getting it moving. I mean, just getting it off the ground and started is a huge deal, and I know that it's going to be a big deal for that area to have those options.
It will be. Just a lot of thought. We've got a spreadsheet a mile long. So, if we need to move a light bulb, hey, it's got to be on that spreadsheet. So there's a lot of things to go over.
Yeah, yeah. So what's next? So you're doing some expansion, but in terms of programming or TCAT just in general with the campuses that you work with, what do you see down the road, 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah, so obviously the Coffee Cave campus, that'll be Coffee Cave's Higher Education Center because it's going to be the only one. We are actually anticipating, obviously I would say this as an employee, but we are anticipating eventually, probably sooner rather than later, to building on that campus. So we've actually got some in the plans, it's able. We've got some areas that we're able to build on. We're already kind of prepping that. That way, we know that it will probably take off. At Minville's campus, like I say, it was built in 64. The first class went through in 66. The existing buildings have been there. Majority of them have been there since 64. That current campus is around 40,000 square foot. So this is going to be a 30,000 square foot increase. And Minville, the ticket Minville's not seen that since the 60s. Mm-hmm. So that will be huge. A lot of it just anticipation of what we see in the future, trends. Coming out of COVID, obviously, is huge. And I know you're obviously aware of that at Tech. But coming out of COVID, we're starting to see some upward trends. And we're just anticipating that continue to climb.
Mm-hmm. And of course, with that expansion, to me, there's – because your world is just a little different than mine, there are unknowns in terms of – industry coming and going, and so I hate to see any time that there's talk about industry leaving, something specific. And if you've built programs around an industry, I know that's a difficult thing, but then knowing things that are coming, like with AI, for example, knowing that AI data centers are going to be coming,
right.
It's getting ahead of some of that type of program. It makes you even wonder, that's where I'm interested. It's like, how do you get there and see into the future?
Right. So in Coffee County, that campus is about 15 minutes from Arnold Air Force Base, ADC. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge drive in a lot of what our talks are going through. We are in active discussions as far as looking into maybe incorporating AI into different programs, looking at maybe potential other opportunities for AI. Digital engineering, digital threads, things of that nature. So those discussions, like you say, those discussions have to start and have to start early to get those things going. But there are a lot of active discussions around that currently, nothing really to deliver on yet. But those are ongoing conversations that we're dealing with.
Yeah, and on the technical side, I know that from the 30,000-foot view, I know that there are universities and community colleges, technical centers. I know everybody's talking AI.
Right.
How do we get a hold of that? How do we make sure that we prepare people? I know that there's been talk of, having it incorporated into curriculum in the K-12 world to get people started. We just got coding. We just got coding incorporated somewhere in K-12. All the kids are going to have that. I feel like we could have probably done that a little earlier. There are countries that have had that in place for a decade already. I feel like we could have done that a little earlier.
Yeah, and that's a good point. There's, obviously when I was in industry, obviously a college grad, you know some things, but you don't really see the whole process until you're in education. Example, if Tennessee Tech were to start a digital threads program or something with AI, well, then you have as well, if the TCAT starts something with them, we have articulation agreements. There's a lot of background work. Things that go into that you really don't see into it, but those conversations can be going on for 6 months, a year, 2 years. It just depends on when those conversations starts, the intent, things of that nature. It's a whole process.
Yeah. And in the meantime, unfortunately, people usually are looking in saying, why don't you have this? Why don't you have got this particular program started that, that could be so successful and give people good jobs. And a lot of times we're working on it. It's in the works.
Right.
But it's hard to do those things overnight.
And paperwork approval, you have to go through your board and get them to check out things. And yeah, it is a whole process. And to your general public, they may not see that. Mm-hmm. But it's something that a lot of background work generally.
Yeah. How do you work with – so we've talked about the industry people a little bit, but what about community members? Because I know that sometimes community members will see a need or they'll have an idea for a business and they're planning on hiring quite a few people. What does that kind of look like for you all?
Yeah. So obviously I mentioned our programs having the occupational advisory committees. The school itself has an institutional advisory committee. Usually it's comprised of people in the community. Generally, that might be directors of schools, county executives, county mayors, people in the community that are very aware of situation, things how it goes, especially your directors of schools. They see that in high school. They see things that are developing, maybe interest that these kids are interested in this that we don't offer, but maybe we should. So that kind of helps as well. Earlier I mentioned about being active in your chambers, county chambers. A lot of that maybe you're at a chamber event and just somebody in the public that maybe has a small business that says, hey, this is not something that everybody else is working with, but we are working on this. This is something we see. So mm-hmm. I think that a key to that is being active in your community, giving back to your community. That's where you meet a lot of your general public that maybe, hey, they know some things that we can help on. And just being active is key, I think, in your community to including a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. And listening, you know, so that's
right.
Sometimes that's we get a bad rap for that in higher education in general.
Right.
You know, not listening closely enough to the community. Although I feel like for the most part we do a pretty good job of that. But there's always something else to learn or some new program that's and for example, Tech recently partnered with Averitt.
Yeah,
you know, and I was. It just made sense to me. I was like, we're not already partnering with Averitt, you know, on a large scale.
Right.
And so I think there are certainly opportunities for that. And I think opportunities like this, just talking through it, you know, where people can hear it and understand it a little better is a good place to start.
Absolutely. The phone's always open, as I say, and it's all public information. I know that you guys, if you call us, we'll be happy to work on that partnership and see what we can come up with. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's something we can knock out overnight. Just those that has to be initiated somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming out and chatting with us a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.